and I throw away the maps. Okay, I'm going to print out more maps. Okay, take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. Arriving in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had John as their assistant. When they had traveled the whole island as far as Paphos, they came across a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, that is the meaning of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, "You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil, an enemy of all that is right. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You're going to be blind and will not see the sun for a time." Immediately a mist and darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then, when he saw what happened, the proconsul believed, because he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. You may be seated. David, were there any maps still back there? Or do y'all still have your maps? Because if you have your map, we'll be looking at map 2. And our events take place right there. We see Antioch. There's still a few left. Anybody need a map? On map 2, you see Antioch. If you go down to the south west to the coast, you get to Seleucia. That's where they took Seleucia. And then Salamis and Paphos are on the map there. So Seleucia is the only one that's not on your map, but we're on map 2 for this sermon Sunday. We'll jump into map 3. But that gives you a little idea that they're all north of Israel. Okay? So, let's go back to where we were last Wednesday. And last Wednesday, we were looking at chapter 12. And we saw Herod that was over Israel and Judea, King Herod. It's going to be a different Herod than the one that we talk about in chapter 13, but they're related. This Herod was the one that sentenced Jesus to crucifixion, or he saw Jesus before Pilate sentenced him to crucifixion. He was the one that Pilate sent him to. And this Herod, he wanted to get the people of Israel to like him. So he had James, the brother of John, executed. And all the Jewish leaders go, "Yay, yay, yay, kill another one." And so he arrested Peter. But then, remember we talked about last Wednesday, that pesky Passover got in the way. That festival when we're supposed to remember we're following God and he's the one that delivers us, not Herod. But as soon as that's out of the way, bring us another apostle to execute. And so that was Herod's plan. Had Peter put in prison. But we got that pesky Passover. I'll execute him since Passover's over. And all the church is praying for Peter's release. In the middle of the night, Peter's not sweating anything. Alana, he's got that little button in the back of his head too, so it's fella, he goes to sleep. He's chained to two guards. You know, that frustrates Alana. My head hits the pillow and I'm asleep. And then she wants to, yes, it's a very sensitive. It's like, you know, my hair doesn't stay up here anymore. My hearing's not as good, but my sense of touch on my ears, one hair barely touches my ears. It's just, oh. Well, that's one of the, that little button back there. Yeah, so don't put a pillow up here. Okay, Herod had Peter in prison. He's got guards, sets of four. They're on duty. One chained on either side, responsible for Peter, and then one right outside the cell where he's at, and another one a little further out. Well, Peter's snoozing away, and an angel says, "Get up, Peter." Now, you got two guards. This angel says, "Get up," and they don't hear anything. Bright light shines. Guards don't notice. Peter gets poked. Get dressed. Put your shoes on. So he does it. And then the chains fall off. Guards don't notice. Walks past the first guard guarding the cell. Doesn't notice. Walks past the second guard. Nothing. Walks to the gate. It opens by itself. Peter and this angel walk out. They go about a block, and then the angel disappears. Peter goes, "Oh, this must really be happening. It's not a vision." Also tells you a little bit about the detail of the visions that God gave Peter. If you couldn't tell the difference between the real thing and a vision, because it was a real thing from God, the vision. So Peter goes to the house where everybody's praying for his release. Rhoda, the servant, comes to the door. "It's Peter. Let me in." "All right. We've been praying for your release. Let me go tell everybody." And she runs off. She's excited. "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind, Rhoda. We're just here praying for his release. How dare you tell us that he's been released? We're not done praying yet." "No, come and see." "Peter's. It's got to be his ghost. They've killed him. God couldn't answer our prayer by releasing him." "Come on," says Rhoda. They go out to the door, and there's Peter. And he explains what happens. He said, "Now tell James." Now, Peter hasn't lost his mind. He's not saying, "Tell the guy that's had his life taken by Herod." That was James, the brother of John. "Tell James, the half-brother of Jesus." And then Peter departs to another place and tells where he's going. Remember last time Peter was released, God put him right back in the temple. But that phase is over right now. And Peter goes someplace else. Herod goes. It's after the Passover. Let's release Peter to be executed. Bring him out. He's not there. What do you mean he's not there? There's two guards standing guard with a chain on their hands and nobody in between. And they don't know what happened. Herod investigates and has those four guards executed. Well, the Jewish people were looking forward to another execution of one of those pesky Christians. So Herod goes down to the Roman city on the coast, Caesarea. And he's a little upset with some people in Tyre and Sidon. That's a little north of Israel. And if you look on your map, that's right there in map 2. You see Tyre and Sidon. Caesarea is just down a little bit south of that. And the people of Tyre and Sidon convince basically the guy in charge of Herod's security, the one in charge of his bedroom, the one that made sure Herod could sleep safe at night, not worrying about somebody trying to kill him. And Herod gives a speech. And the people say, "Oh, that's the best speech we ever had, we've ever heard. It's not from a man, it's from a God." And since Herod did not give credit to God, but took credit that only belongs to God, Herod immediately was filled with worms and died. Now, what exactly that disease was, it doesn't say. But it doesn't sound like a very pleasant disease to get. You're full of worms and die. Now we come to chapter 13. We've ended pretty much the ministry to the Jews in Judea. The message, he's still active, but he's not the forefront of the book of Acts anymore. It's back to Saul. Remember, Saul had gone down to Jerusalem. Barnabas had introduced him to the apostles. Then there was a relief effort from the people in the churches outside Judea. Barnabas and Saul took this offering down to Jerusalem. They went back and they took John Mark with them. Now remember, John Mark, he's the house where Rhoda's the servant. That's where they were praying for Peter's release. And in Antioch, this is going to become the center of the spread of the gospel. All of Paul's missionary journeys start from Antioch. And there in the church is Barnabas. Barnabas, we saw in chapter 4 of verse 36 of Acts, where he's called Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Bar means son of. Simeon, the dark. Niger is the Greek term for black. So there's Simeon. He's the dark one in the group. So it's just not an insult. That's how they separate him from the other Simeons. Simon of Cyrene, also called Lucius. He's the one that carried Jesus' cross. When Jesus stumbled after, because of the beating he had been given in Matthew 27:32 and Mark 15:21, we see that. And then Manian, he was raised with Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is the one who killed John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist was telling him, it's not allowed for you to have your brother's wife. And he wanted to release John the Baptist, but he kept having John the Baptist come talk to him, hoping he'd get bribed. One day there's a big party with his wife that was the wife of his brother that he was cohabiting with. And her daughter danced and pleased this Herod. "I'll give you anything you want." She asked her mother, said, "Want the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter." It's funny. A lot of people that say there's nothing in the Bible that's true, you can't believe any of it. But they said, you know, and if I believed it, it'd be just like serving my head up on a silver platter. They use all kind of biblical references, but they don't want to acknowledge the Bible has any impact. they try to make other things scapegoats. And scapegoat is from Exodus, or actually Leviticus. Okay. So Manian, he had grown up with the Herod that had John the Baptist killed. Manian is a preacher of the gospel. Herod Antipas was a creature of the dark. He executed John the Baptist. Manian proclaimed Jesus Christ. Now, God tells these leaders in the church, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. I've got a mission for them. And it tells us the Holy Spirit sends them out. And they go down from Antioch down to the village on the coast, get a boat, go over to Cyprus, and they go the length of Cyprus preaching the gospel. The headquarters, the Roman government seat, was in Paphos. And in Paphos, they meet Sergius Paulus. He's the proconsul. Now, the proconsul is like the governor. Procurator is like a governor too. The difference is who appointed them. There was the Roman Senate. The Roman Senate appointed the governors that are called proconsuls. When the emperor said, this is my guy I want there, and the emperor appointed people, it was a procurator. And there are always procurators in Israel. But there's a proconsul in Cyprus. And there's also a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Bar means son of. Jesus, salvation. So son of salvation is trying to thwart Sergius Paulus from accepting the truth that now we call him Paul. Paul and Barnabas are proclaiming. In verse 9, this is where we don't hear Saul called Saul anymore unless Paul is retelling what happened. He's going to be called Paul from now on. It also marks the place where Paul takes the leadership away from Barnabas. Barnabas has been the one leading everything. He's the one that went and got Saul. He's the one that took Saul to the apostles. He was the one that was instrumental in the church in Jerusalem. Now, Paul is going to be the leader of the team. Not that they drew straws and just, okay, well, you win now, Paul. No, God directed that there's a change in leadership. Paul says to son of salvation, you are the son of the devil. You are trying to pervert everything that is right. We're trying to show the light here, and you're just trying to make everything dark. Good. If that's what you want, everything's going to be dark for you for a while. It doesn't tell us how long that while was. But immediately, son of salvation became the one in darkness. He couldn't see anything, and he's trying to find somebody, help me, lead me. Sergius Paulus has been hearing the word of salvation. He sees this miracle. And it says he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. It wasn't the miracle that he believed in. It is what Jesus taught. The miracle just confirmed who has the power. God chose people from a thriving church and said, I need you someplace else. Paul and Barnabas, I got a mission for them. And John Mark, he's there helping. Now, there's going to be a time when John Mark, still being a young man, gets a little homesick and wants to go home. Back to Jerusalem. Back to his mother Mary's house. But he's going to go out on other missionary journeys. Barnabas, his cousin, which we're told that in Colossians, that John Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. Barnabas is going to take John Mark with him and go on other missionary journeys. Paul is going to take Silas, but that's the second missionary journey. We're just getting started on the first. God has a plan. Sometimes it doesn't fit our plan. No, don't take him. Don't take him. We need them here in Antioch. God says, I need them somewhere else. And God has the power to accomplish anything he desires. Sergius Paulus. We know the name of one person became a believer. But we don't know the people that became believers in that 100-mile journey across the island of Cyprus. Because it says they were preaching all across the island. Sergius Paulus wasn't the only convert. He's just the guy that was the governor. Can you imagine what would happen in our country if some of the people in our country, United States, governors, became sold out Christians? Not selling out Christ, but sold out for Christ. Paul, Barnabas could say, well, he's the governor. He's too far, too aloof. You know, he'll never accept the truth. No. The governor accepted the truth. Other people accepted the truth. I remember what I believe it's Queen Elizabeth said. She said, Scripture says there are not many of noble birth. She said, I'm glad it doesn't say there are none. There's not a lot of us that are Christians that are of noble birth. But she's saying, I'm one of them. Glad it didn't say none. Sergius Paulus, someone in authority, became a Christian. Don't believe anyone in any position should not hear the gospel. Even Bar-Jesus heard the gospel. We don't know if he repented later. He might have. Had to wait till we get to heaven to find out. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you have the power to overcome any darkness. Your Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs, convicts of sin. Let us follow your lead in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.